Our Father, we're thankful that you've gathered us together again and that you've used these weeks and months and years in our lives to build us up in Christ. And we pray that as we look to your word today and as we remember that you would strengthen us, that you would increase our faith, that you would help us to be salt and light in the world, that you would help us, Father, to be faithful witnesses to the testimonies of Scripture and the work that you've done in our lives. Thank you again, Father. We pray that you'd be with our church. Help those that are hurting. Help those that struggle. Bless them, Father. Help them to stay close to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, happy Father's Day, or happy Dad's Day. My wife knows that I'm somewhat skeptical of greeting card holidays, but Mother's Day and Father's Day, whatever the history of making those national holidays is, I'm glad. Our mothers and our fathers, today let's talk about fathers, bless us in many, many ways throughout our whole lives. Even so much so that if we don't stop to think about it, we might even forget about all the ways that they've blessed us in our lives. Often we only recognize things when bad times come. Then we remember, oh man, my dad has blessed me so much in a time of sorrow or in a time of want. Then you recognize how much your father has done for you, how much they've taught you, or even sometimes upon losing a parent, you think back. Well, listen, all earthly fathers, some of you have even mentioned it in your prayers this morning, they are an imperfect picture of what God is doing in our lives. He is the Father of the world. And I want to talk about that. Please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And the context is in the midst of great blessing. Don't forget about your Father, your Heavenly Father. We would never pray for times of testing and difficulty to come. But do you know that God often uses it in the lives of His people for good? And that times of plenty and abundance and peace actually end up being a stumbling block for the people of God? Isn't that terrible? But it often is. Well, let's read Deuteronomy chapter 4. We'll read through verse 17. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you, for the Lord your God is in your midst, is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you off the face of the earth. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And we'll read through 18, 19 as well. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, that you may go in and take possession of the good land that the Lord swore to give your fathers, by thrusting out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has promised. Amen. Verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. They were to believe in only one God. There's no other. All the nations around them had a plethora of various things that they would have believed. God was not calling them to that. There's no one else that can save. No one else upholds. No one can declare at the beginning the end of a thing. God says, I declare the end at the beginning. How can you declare the end at the beginning? It hasn't happened yet. He can because he's purposing what's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen. And the implication of God being the one and only God, verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your might. Since there's only one, we have one Father. When they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, he said, Our Father who art in heaven, he is the one that we are held accountable to. He's been blessing us and working in our lives. He's been working in the lives of Israel. He's been rescuing them from slavery and building them up. And they're accountable to him to serve him with all their might, with all their soul, with all their hearts. Verse 6, These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. What words? The words to love God with your whole being. Don't forget about that. Christians often speak about how when they were first converted, they had a joy and a passion and a stirring in them to seek the Lord in all instances, to pray continually, to witness boldly to their friends and families and co-workers. And as time goes on, if you ask the same people, they say, I'm not really like that anymore. I'm trying, but not like I was at the beginning. What he wants to be continually on their hearts, he's the one God of the universe, and he loves them. Serve him. Love God with all your heart, with everything that you have, and not just yourself. Verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise, verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. But listen, I'm not saying that you have to, in order to heed God's warning and obey God's teaching here, that you need to have little scripture signs all over your house and every wall. But if you did, I wouldn't think it was a bad idea. And this is why we encourage the memorization of scripture, right? What better place to put a sign than in your brain? It's with you at all times. But there are ways that physical things, those WWJD bracelets from years ago, that turned into a fad. But is that a bad thing to think about in your situation? What would God want me to do? How can I be more like God? It's not a bad thing. It is because it became commercialized. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And the point is, the teachings and commandments of God, our Father, should be important to us. It should be what's on our hearts. The reason why it's not is because we've already filled our hearts with a bunch of junk. Just a bunch of junk. Instead of thinking about how to love and please God in all of our conversations, we might talk about some sort of celebrity gossip. Some sort of TV show that this or that happened. It's not, those things aren't necessarily evil, but they are if they've distracted and filled your brain with things that your brain has no time to think about God. According to the commandments here, we should talk about God's word with our kids. Teach them to carefully obey the Lord. We should. Whatever we're doing, according to the text, wherever we go, we should be thinking about God's word. And isn't that redeeming the time? If you have time, what's the best way you could use that time? And taking care of responsibilities, listen, that's obeying God too, isn't it? He wants people to work and be... I want to say profitable, but I can't think of the word right now. It should be important to us. When I lived in Cambodia, Jennifer knows this, my translator, Daniel, for the first year or two, he is a diligent English student. One of the most diligent students I've ever seen. And when you went to his house, everywhere in the house there was a sign with the word, the English word for that thing. Wherever it was, the clock, the pot, the spoons, everywhere. While he's sitting on his bed, there's stuff on the ceiling above him, all along the side of the walls. Why was he doing this? No matter where he went in the house, he saw English. He was trying to learn, trying to put these things deep into his brain. What if you did that with God's word? Would that have no effect on you? Would it have a very positive effect on you? Might you stop doing some things that you do now? Maybe not just because they're exceedingly sinful, but just a waste of time. God's directive in the text is, put my word where you can see it. Keep it in the forefront of your mind. Let it instruct you in the way that you should go. Be super intentional and purposeful, even to your kids. Teach them too. And they might ask. I was praying last night with Lydia, and I said, thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. And she asked me, what's mercy? Why would she ask such a question? Because it came up in the context of God's word. She wanted to understand. This is what our job is. Put these things in practice in our own lives and teach them to their kids, to our kids. Be very intentional. Meditate on the word of God. Verse 10 says, and when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you didn't plant. Listen, this land that God is bringing his people into, this is amazing. Not only are they going to conquer all those people and take possession of this good land, they don't even have to build houses. They don't have to make a farm, clear the land of rocks, thistles. No, they've already done. God has taken it from the wicked and given it to his people. You didn't plant it. You didn't do anything. You just took possession of it. I mean, did they fight some? There's some battles, but mostly God just destroyed the people. a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon had no sword. God caused the people to kill themselves. They walk around Jericho. The walls fall down. And what he's reminding them and telling them, look, I'm the only God there is. You should love me. You should seek me diligently. Think about the things that I've taught you. And listen, be careful, because I have in my mind to bless you greatly. And when I do, the temptation is going to be for you to forget all about what I've done for you. You see that? Verse 12, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. How is it possible? How could they possibly forget about God? God rescued them from slavery, took them to a good land, gave them whole cities to live in that are already built. Streets, sewage, lamps, everything. How could they possibly forget that God had done all that? If we think of our own lives, we can see it's very possible and easy. We live in a land flowing with milk and honey. Listen, there are rich and poor among us. There are. And there are some that don't have enough food in our land. That is true. But this country is unlike other countries in the world as it relates to prosperity. And especially where we live in Collin County, Texas, or wherever county you live around this area, it is the richest area. There's virtually no crime. Unemployment, almost zero. I mean, our biggest problems are the sprinkler head in my automatic sprinkler broke off and it's getting water everywhere. I mean, there are issues we have to deal with, right? But it's not like other countries. They're having to deal with someone showing up with an AK and shooting them for no particular reason, even. God has blessed us greatly. And we need to take heed to what God told the Israelites. I'm going to bless you. Do you know, children and young people, you didn't work on all these streets around here. You just born and everything is lovely already. Right? There's beautiful parks to go play in, lakes that they've dammed up 60, 70 years ago. They built it all up nice. You just enjoy it. Be careful. Those of you who go to college, your parents help you. It's very easy to forget all that your parents have done for you. Very easy to forget about all the thousands and thousands of hours and dollars that they've spent because they love you. When we think about God being our Father, He's been with us before we were born. Right? Christians, the Bible says that He had a good thought towards us before the foundation of the earth. How long has He invested in you? How long has He been working for your good every second that you don't die? He's been with you. Your heart beats, you know not how. It continues to beat every day. When you wake up, you ought to thank God for another day to live. Many people die in their sleep overnight, even unexpectedly. Take care lest you forget your Father who's blessed you. If you think about them in the wilderness, even after He rescued them from slavery, what did they do? Complain and mumble and grumble. God provided manna from heaven. Do you remember? You know the meaning of manna? What is it? Is the meaning of manna. God provided it on the ground. They looked at it and said, what is it? Later they complain, they say, we're so thirsty, we're in the desert, it would have been better just to stay slaves. And Moses cries out to God, what do you want me to do with these people? And God, very graciously, he could have killed them on the spot. But because of his faithfulness to his promises, he was merciful and he gave them water. He led them through the desert. The Bible says their clothes didn't even wear out in 40 years. Their bodies being sandblasted every day. They had seen the plagues of God set them free. They'd crossed over the Red Sea on dry ground. They'd eaten the manna and drank the water. They'd been taught not to complain, trust God. Let's look over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We'll start in verse 7. The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. Verse 11, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I have commanded you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart being lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there's no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers to this day. Verse 19, and if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today, you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God. I understand that there is grace in the new covenant that they did not have in the same way that we do. But listen, there are many parallels in this passage to our time. When you multiply gold and silver. Listen, do y'all have investments and retirement money? Many countries have virtually nothing. They have no idea how they're going to live into old age. In our country, we have abundance. We don't worry that there's not going to be any food. Even if Tom Thumb is out of your favorite cereal, you can go over to Kroger's, they have it. Right? And even if all the corn in Texas burns up because there's no rain, Louisiana has corn. They'll bring Louisiana corn over here. This country is being blessed by God in great ways. But with the blessing comes the potential, and we already see it happening. It's been happening for years and years. With prosperity comes forgetfulness. It shouldn't be that way. It should be the more prosperous you are, the more you're aware of God's continual blessings. John Calvin said, first of all, He shows how base and untrustworthy would be their ingratitude if, when loaded with so many excellent benefits by God, they should cast away the recollection of him. For as his goodness was inestimable in giving them cities built by the hands of others, and in transferring to them whatever others had prepared by their great labor and industry, so would their impiety be the more detestable in neglecting them, when he daily set himself before them in this abundant store of blessing. Let them learn, therefore, from this passage that we are invited by God's liberality to honor him, and that whenever he deals kindly by us, he places his glory before our eyes. But on the other hand, we should remember that what ought to be, as it were, vehicles to lift up our minds on high are, by our own fault, converted into obstacles and clogs, and that therefore we ought to be the more upon our guard. John Gill said, "Plenty is apt to induce a forgetfulness of God, when on the contrary, one would think it should keep him in continual remembrance and engage to daily thankfulness to him." Today is Father's Day. Think about your Heavenly Father and how much he's blessed you. Are you in a state of forgetfulness about that? Let me stir you up. Don't forget about God. If we go back to our text, chapter 6, verse 13, "The Lord your God, it is he that you shall fear. Him you shall serve. By his name you shall swear." The fear of the Lord seems to be, in the passage, a protection against forgetting God. If we fear him, we serve him, we swear by his name, we obey his commandments, and we won't live for ourselves only. We won't just take the good gifts of God and then forget. And I said this already, but busyness is a kind of forgetfulness. We fill up all the spare time that we have, and somebody invites us or encourages us to do a good thing, and we say, "Oh man, I really want to, but I just don't have time." Now, I'm not saying you're lying, but if you don't have time to remember God, then you're too busy. You need to itemize your daily routines and trim out the fat. Something is clogging up your life that you have no time to remember the good things of God. And if you're going to err, listen, Christian, if you're going to err on the side of spending too much time with God, not too little. Right? This is nothing new. Y'all know this, but I'm reminding you, God has blessed you. Most of you have really good jobs, jobs that you wanted to have. God blessed you. Nice benefits, retirement package, insurance, not that far away even from your home. Should be thankful to your God. You shouldn't forget about him in the abundance of your TVs and video streaming capabilities. I try to tell this to my kids sometimes. They want to watch this or that. And I'm like, when we were young, you had to watch it at 9 o'clock. If you missed it, you missed it. You just have to wait till the next day or the next week. And listen to me talk like that's a hardship. We had to wait. Listen, this country is very prosperous, and our church is prosperous. God has blessed us with many, many good things. Are they a stumbling block clogging up your life? Wouldn't that hurt you if you... Parents, fathers, you bless your son, you bless your daughter with something, you really know that they want it, and you bless them with it, and the thing becomes a stumbling block in their lives. We have to be, listen, actively aware of this temptation, this forgetting God. important, especially in our country, in the face of financial prosperity. Do you think poor people cry out more to God for Him to provide for their needs? I bet you they do. And those rich people, they ought to be crying out in thankfulness to God and asking Him, how can we bless poor people? How can we help? You remember Luke chapter 12? And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things that you've prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And the text, this guy spent much time and effort storing up treasures for the kingdom of himself. But what about the kingdom of God? And it's not just money that can cause you to forget about God, right? Boys, girls, games, jobs, your education, home improvement projects, many things. They don't compare to the knowledge of God. You have to purposefully, just like you do with your job, you purpose that you're going to be there on time. If you're not on time, eventually you're going to get fired. So you purpose, you set your schedule, you go to bed at a certain time that will allow you to wake up in the morning so you can go and be there on time. Well, where is your routine, your status, so that you don't forget about your God? Where's that in your daily schedule? What time do you do that? And if in your brain right now you answered, I don't do it, then you should. The Christian's desire should be to learn more and more about their God. He's promised for us to be with Him for eternal life. Don't you want to know as much about this being as possible? You're going to be with Him for a long, long time if you're a believer. If these other things in your life are causing you to forget about God, ask God to help you. Parents, think about it as it relates to your children. Is their education more important than their relationship with God? And if you say no, their relationship with God is more important, and I say, okay, prove it. And your emphasis in the home, which one do you emphasize more? Their grades? Or they're seeking after God. By the way, I'm not saying grades are bad. I said, which one do you emphasize more? Do you emphasize the computers and business, or Leah, medicine? If that's more important, is it more important to you than a thorough knowledge of the Bible? Because knowing about education or knowing about medicine is good. I'm glad. I've been sick, and people who knew about medicine helped me out, and I'm thankful to God. But that has benefit for the current life only. One of our ex-presidents, Theodore Roosevelt, the 26th president of the United States, he said, a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. How so? Because a college education has value for this life. A thorough knowledge of the Bible and belief in its teachings, you can't buy it, eternal life. Even if you desire to buy it, God doesn't accept money. And by the way, that ex-president, Mr. Roosevelt, he's not saying the two are mutually exclusive. He graduated from Harvard. He knows the value of education, but as it compares to the knowledge of God Almighty, it's worth way more than a college education. I'm thankful at our church that there is a heavy emphasis on learning about the scriptures, and I pray that we don't just get smart in our minds and don't apply those things to our lives. Like, can you explain God's sovereignty and man's responsibility? I think we could explain it a lot better than others. We've thought about it. We've looked at the text, even though it's a difficult subject. We thought about it. But I pray that we wouldn't just be smart. I pray that we'd be obedient. We wouldn't forget all the teachings of the Lord and all the way that He's blessed us. And even go after other gods. You know, in the United States, people will not readily admit that they are idol worshipers. But they are. They are. You see it all around. They worship their physical health. As they spend hours and hours and hours every week building up their bodies. You can think of other ways. People are chasing after everything all the time. But if we're remembering God and we're purposing to remember His benefits, it will be a protection to us. That we will remember this. Verse 14, you shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you. Verse 15, for the Lord your God is in your midst. He is a jealous God. This is fundamental to understanding who God is and how He relates to worship, right? We're taught this in the Ten Commandments. Don't worship other gods. I'm jealous. I will not allow it. And He is. And when we think of jealousy, we often think that's a bad thing. But listen, not for God. He deserves all the praise. He deserves the worship. When He doesn't get it, there's something wrong. He's jealous for our worship. He will not allow us to forget Him. Listen. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as the people tested Him at Massa. That was the water incident. They're all thirsty and they complain and grumble. It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Think about your father, your earthly father, and be thankful to your heavenly Father. And remember the ways that your heavenly Father has blessed you. Do you know that He's the one who gave you your father, your earthly father? Whatever is perfect gift comes down from above. It's not just an accident that you got it. God sent it to you. Examine your walk with the Lord. Be encouraged. But let me remind you, don't let prosperity, spousal contentment and love between your spouses, peace in your home, be a stumbling block to forget about God. Be thankful. Obey His commands. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You. We do truly thank You for Your great blessings to us. Especially for Jesus. We know, Father, we were Your enemies. We had no care about things that would please You. And yet You made peace by sending Jesus to the cross, the righteous dying for the unrighteous, that we might become the righteousness of God. Would You help us today, Lord, these believers, this body, cause us to be mindful of our God. You've blessed us. You've promised to be with us. You've given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. You've promised that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and that nothing can separate us from Your love. Oh Lord, would You help us to remember that and to worship You because of it? to be obedient children because of it. Father, we pray that you'd help us the rest of our day today, that we would be thankful for our earthly fathers, we'd enjoy the time that we spend with our families. We thank you that we have this time. And God, we pray that this would be a good start to our week, that we would assemble together next week, according to your will, and that we would continue to grow and bear one another's burdens and pray, and we would that we would do the good works that you've prepared beforehand for us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.